My name is Chris Norman. I'm on the leadership team here at Grace, and I'm just coming off a sabbatical over the summer where I was away from ministry. I received a Eli Lilly a clergy renewal grant that allowed me to take seven different trips with different members of my family over the summer, and they paid for it all. And I was incredibly grateful, very humbled, and very thankful. God spoke to me in many different ways over the course of my time away, and I've decided to take the next 5 weeks and share some of those things that God spoke to me about. I've been giving messages here at Grace for a number of years, and I just want to say that last week's service was easily in the top 10, if not the top 5, encouraging services that I've experienced here at Grace. And it was just a great celebration. We are now debt-free as a church, and we celebrate the amazing story of how God has done that, particularly over the last 12 years, with miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And we, again, just as a family, give him glory and thanks. Amen? I just want to thank all of you for your faithfulness, as obviously God has used all of us together. Well, the first trip I took on my sabbatical was a week-long trip to a monastery in the hills of Kentucky called Gethsemane Monastery. There were 40 in-house Trappist monk residents that live in this monastery 365 days a year. They don't ever leave. They stay in the monastery 365 days a year, apart from some rare exceptions. There were 30 of us guests that stayed at this monastery for the week. I ate three meals a day with these guests who came from all over different states. And we, after spending 5 days, Monday through Friday with them, eating three meals a day, every day, never said one word to any of them because it was a time of silence and solitude. There was absolutely no talking at this monastery for the entire week. The monks get together in a sanctuary hall 8 times a day for prayers. And there it is right there. 8 times a day they congregate together. I would attend probably two or three of them. I attended probably two or three of them a day. The monastery has guests all year round at different time periods. And there's two different times you can stay. You can stay for a Monday, Friday, or you can stay over the weekend. There's no cost. They provide the meals for you. They provide a very simple room for you. And anyone can come, regardless of your vocation. You just need to make reservations. Anyone can go. One of the themes that we see throughout the Bible is that there's a correlation between rest and revelation. A correlation between having margin in your life and hearing from God. Now, we all lead active lives, and so we're starting this kind of 5-part series called From Rest to Revelation. We all live very active lives, and we're in need of pausing and reflecting and connecting with God throughout our day, throughout our week, and throughout our year. And if we aren't intentionally creating margin in our day and in our week and in our year in different time periods, it often is very hard for us to hear from the Lord and connect with him. And so as we just think about life in general, we know that we experience life in the natural realm through our 5 senses and through reason. And as we work our way through life, we are interacting with everything going on around us. We go to work. We lie down for rest. We eat our meals. We drive in a car. We watch television. We go to the grocery store. We're constantly interacting in the natural world. It's what we see and hear and touch and feel. But underneath the surface, we're spiritual beings with a soul. And God is with us and in us, and he's weaving in us a story. He's weaving in you a story. When you look beyond the surface, because you're a spirit being as well as a natural being, God is in you if you are in Christ, and he's weaving a story in you. He's both present in your life, and he's directly and personally speaking to you in your life. Let me just ask you, do you believe that? That God is actually present with you everywhere you go, and he's speaking to you personally everywhere you go?
Yes.
Well, what does it mean for us to grow spiritually, to grow in our relationship with God? It's a very simple and fundamental question. What does it mean to grow in our relationship with God, to grow spiritually? If someone were to ask you, give an answer in 20 seconds or less, what does it mean to grow in your relationship with God? What would you say? 20 seconds or less, sum it up. What would you say? We don't sum up spiritual growth by talking about church attendance. We don't sum up spiritual growth by mentioning how much we are or aren't in the Bible. We don't sum up spiritual growth by how much we're loving people. Those are all good and right things. But let me sum up spiritual growth for you in 10 seconds. You guys ready? Very simple. Spiritual growth is about hearing God and responding to what he says. Done. Hearing God and responding to him. It is that simple. Spiritual growth is easy to understand, hard to implement. It's not complicated. You hear from God and then you respond. And the more you do that, the more you grow. Simply put, it's about revelation and response. Let me unpack this a little bit. Revelation, the idea that God speaks to us. How does he speak to us? Well, he speaks to us in multiple ways. Are you aware of all the ways God speaks to you? He speaks to us through the Bible, through prayer, circumstances, other people, nature, promptings, emotions, dreams, visions, prophetic words, etc. It's multifaceted the way God speaks to us. And sometimes we think, oh, well, God only speaks to us in one way or two ways. No, it's all kinds of different ways. And then it's not only receiving revelation, but it's responding. How do we respond? We respond to God by worshiping him. That's one way we respond. Or changing how we view ourselves. Or changing how we view others. Or changing our thinking. Or changing our actions. And so God speaks, we respond. God speaks, we respond. The more you do that, the more you grow, and the more you grow in your relationship with God. We often use the language, what's God saying? What am I going to do about it? And so here's the premise. God is always speaking to us. He's always speaking to us. And the only question is, are we listening? Are we aware? Do we hear him? Because he's speaking to us constantly. Let me give you a couple of examples of this, of the ways in which God speaks in multiple different areas. So this summer, I told my four kids that I'm taking each of them on a trip. They can decide anywhere they want to go in the country, and I'll take them there for 3 or 4 days. Thank you, Eli Lilly. And so my youngest daughter, Farah, decided that she wanted to go to Orlando to go to Disney World, and to go to the American Girl store in Orlando. And so guess what? That's where we went. So we go to Disney, and we go, and on one of the days we go to Epcot. How many of you have been to Epcot? Raise your hand. Okay, Epcot, they have all these different representations of countries. I think it's maybe 10, 12 different areas where it feels like when you walk in, you feel like you're in that country. And so we had a reservation for dinner in the area of France. So this French restaurant. And that night, as we were preparing, Farrah put on this beautiful gown. We bought a tiara. So she had a crown on her head and a necklace. And it's I think we had maybe a 6:30 reservation. And we're making our way through Epcot. And I kid you not, about a dozen workers at Disney stopped what they were doing. And whether they were close or whether they were far away, they either said or yelled, "Hey there, princess." I mean, it was incredible. There was a police officer in Epcot. He turned around, and I'm not joking, he literally bowed. We were walking, and we were hand in hand, and there was another family that was walking the opposite direction, and everyone's staring at her, and I saw this family stare at her, and I saw the dad take his phone in a very nonchalant way, snapped a picture, thinking no one saw. I saw him. I later tackled him and took that phone away from... No, I didn't. Here's a little video of when we were at the restaurant, I'm talking with Farrah. That Mission Space, by the way, if you ever go to Epcot, don't go to Mission Space. Who was I just telling that to? And someone said, my good friend. I said, yeah, don't go to Mission Space. Yeah, he said, I went to Mission Space. And you know, there's this G-force experience, and you're kind of going up like a rocket to Mars. He said, after I did that, I was laying down the rest of the day. I couldn't even move. I just don't like anything spinning. But anyway, we had an unbelievable time. After dinner, we were walking back, and Farrah was holding my hand. I had all these emotions running through me, and it was just this magical evening. And here's what I did as we were walking back. I asked God in my own heart the question, God, as we're walking, what are you saying to me? In the midst of my emotions, in the midst of this unique time together, what are you saying to me? Because if the premise is true that no matter what we're doing in life, even though we just see the natural world, God is weaving a story underneath the surface and actually in the natural world combined, and he's speaking to us, we have to be asking the question, okay, well, in this situation, what are you saying? And here's the first thought that came to my mind as I was walking and I asked God that question. There's coming a day when my daughter will no longer want to walk around Disney holding my hand, looking up at me with the biggest smile she could ever imagine. You could ever imagine. I have teenagers. I know that day is coming. I know there's coming a day when she'll not want to walk around Disney holding my hand, but today's not that day. And what I felt like the Lord was saying to me during that specific time and those emotions and those thoughts, two things. Number one, live and appreciate the moment. There is brokenness and sin all around you. You feel the weight of brokenness every single day, Chris. But when you experience something beautiful, live in the moment. Don't take it for granted. And that is true. We all live in the midst of brokenness and sin and difficulty. And we experience these droplets of grace. And God was saying, don't take it for granted. It's a gift from me. And here's the second thing I felt he said to me. This picture of Farrah dressed as a princess, walking around hand in hand with her dad, without a hint of conflict, without a hint of sin, no recognizable brokenness at all, but a time where she was adoring me and I was adoring her. It was a taste and a picture of the relationship God as our dad has with us, his cherished sons and daughters, princes and princesses. And I'll never forget the emotion of that day and what God communicated that day through that emotion. And the picture of what's to come and the way God views us here and now. God clearly spoke, and I responded in adoring him and thanking him and changing my mind about what is true. Let me give you one other example of the way God speaks to us. So my daughter, Julia, her choice this summer was to go to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. And I mean, I just absolutely love the outdoors. We did all these outdoor activities. Went to Estes Park and did all kinds of things. And one of the things that she wanted to do was a horseback ride. Now, I've been on a horse maybe one time in my life, about 15 minutes. And so there were different options of the length of a horseback ride. You could do a 1 hour or a 2 hour or even a 3 hour. But she didn't choose any of those options. She chose the 5 hour horseback ride. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, 5 hours. Okay, here we go. It was incredible. We had an unbelievable time. It was an amazing ride. We went up and down this very large mountain. We went through fields. We crossed water. We went into deep woods. We went through all this different terrain. It was absolutely incredible. Here's a little clip of me on the horse taking some video of just what's happening as we're going through. It was amazing. And so as I'm riding this horse in the mountains all around and experiencing God's creation in stunning fashion, I asked the question, as I'm riding, God, what are you saying to me? Right now, in this moment, what are you saying? And as I asked the question and contemplated the beauty of his creation, it caused me, literally, as I was riding, to begin singing worship songs and praise songs to God. As I was viewing this unbelievable, stunning creation, it just brought me to worship. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens and the creation declare the wonders and the beauty of God." It speaks to us. God speaks to us through his creation. And it caused me to worship and adore him. And so I'm riding this horse and I'm singing songs just kind of a little bit out loud, quietly, and praising him. Spiritual growth, very simply, is about revelation and response. Hearing from God and then responding to what we hear. God speaks to us in all kinds of different ways. And he's desiring a response to it. And the more we respond, the more we grow, and the closer we become to the Lord. Jesus modeled this and taught the correlation between hearing and responding all throughout the Gospels. Let me read three verses that correlate this. John 5:19 says this. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." So as he's walking around, he's just hearing what God's saying, seeing what God's doing, and just partnering with him. God's always speaking. He's always responding. There was no one closer to the Father than Jesus. John 12:49-50, it says this, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I've spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." When I speak, Jesus is saying, I'm just speaking how the Father's leading me, because he's speaking to me and I'm responding, and that's what I'm saying. And lastly, John 7:24-27 says this, because not only did Jesus live this out, he taught it. He says, "Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he's the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And then note what he says, what Jesus says. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So he pictures in a contrast the man who built his house on the sand and the man who builds his house on the rock. Both hear the Lord, but only one responds. And the one that doesn't respond builds his house on sand. The one who does respond builds his house on the rock. And so we have this revelation and response, hearing and responding. But here's the challenge that we have. Raise your hand if you're bored, you have nothing to do, and you aren't active in anything. Raise your hand. Well, obviously, that's not the case. Raise your hand if you often feel too busy, overcommitted, and stressed out because of your schedule. Raise your hand. Most. Here's the punchline of the message this morning. If we don't pause, if we don't create margin, if we don't have times of rest from the activity of life, we probably never get around to asking the question, God, what are you saying to me? Because we are so busy going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, experiencing this and then experiencing that situation and that circumstance. And we never stop and say, wait, hold it. Right where I'm at right now, God, what are you saying to me? Because I understand that spiritual growth and drawing close to you is about revelation and response. See, the key to revelation and response is actually asking the question. If we never ever get to the question, God, what are you saying? We'll never even understand the revelation and we'll never respond. And we're often going through life rarely even asking the question. From rest comes revelation, and then revelation leads to response. When we're overcommitted, overworked, going from one thing to the next with little margin in life, it's very difficult to hear from the Lord. Let me give you a few practical suggestions how we can create margin in our lives to hear from God. Times of rest. Whether it's resting for 60 seconds or resting for several days or extended periods of time. On that continuum, whether it's 60 seconds or an extended time. Let me give you some just real practical ways that you could be more attentive to hearing what the Lord is saying because you're creating some margin, some times of rest. Let me give you four different areas of creating margin. Number one is spontaneous moments. Spontaneous moments throughout the day. The idea here is that we're mindful of God throughout our day. How easy is it for us to go throughout the whole day, lay our head on the pillow at night, and think to ourselves, I'm not sure I even thought about God much today. Much less asked him what he was saying to me all throughout the day. Do we see him in the beauty of creation? Do we recognize him and how he's working in a conversation at work or with some neighbors? Let me tell you just some practical things that have been helpful for me. Very small segments throughout the day of silence and prayer. And I'm saying sometimes 30 seconds, sometimes 2 minutes. Riding in the car is a key time for me. I rarely have the radio on during the car, and I'll tell you why. Obviously, nothing wrong with having the radio on. But I'll tell you why. It is a rhythm in my life. I know I drive every day, and I know I have to have some times of silence and just trying to listen to God. And so I've just decided, now it doesn't happen all the time, but most of the time, when I'm riding in the car, I use that time to ask God, God, what have you said to me so far today? What are you saying to me right now? It's just a very tangible and easy way. You don't have to add anything in your life. You're already driving every day. Maximize that time. Pause in your day. Take 60 seconds every couple hours and just shoot up a prayer to God. God, what are you saying? Maybe the response is just a song or prayer or listening. Jesus says everywhere he goes, he's just seeing what the Father's doing, constantly aware. Secondly, not only spontaneous times, but set aside times. This isn't the 60-second reflection, but it's more of the maybe 15 to 30-minute set-aside time to actually read the Bible and pray. Could be in the morning, could be in the evening, could be at lunchtime. Maybe it's taking a walk. Maybe it's listening to a sermon. I don't want to embarrass my father-in-law, but right now he is listening to the Bible in an audio version. Like yesterday he told me he spent like 2 hours listening. He's listening through the whole Old Testament right now. It's another way to hear from God, but it's a set-aside time. So you have your set-aside time where you're creating some space in your calendar, and then you have just the spontaneous. We see this Jesus doing this. He pulls away early in the morning, sometimes late at night. No one can find him. Why is that? He has set aside time. And in the midst of in the marketplace and day to day and just going life to life, he's listening. It's both and, not one or the other. Kathy and I took many prayer walks over the summer, and we're still doing that now. And one of the things that we do in our prayer walks is as we're walking, we don't close our eyes to pray because we're walking. It'd be not a very good idea. But as we're walking, we're just praying. So Lord, we just thank you for what you have done in this area of our lives. And we're praying right now for this situation. And we're just walking. We're speaking out loud. And it looks like if you were looking at us, it looks like we're having a conversation. We're directly in prayer. We're addressing God. It's just a prayer walk. And we're doing it together. Number three, one day in seven. There's a principle in scripture of one day in seven. Work 6 days, rest in one. Having a day that's different from your work days, we can accomplish more in 6 days of work than we can accomplish in seven. It's just a spiritual principle. We need to have that one day in seven for rest and worship. For me, it's Fridays. Fridays. I don't look at all my ministry emails or take other ministry calls unless it's an emergency. One day in seven, that's different. We aren't working 7 days a week. And number four is extended times. These are just built in to our schedules. It's longer periods of time. Maybe it's vacations where we're breaking away from the routine And we're asking God, okay, we have a little bit, a longer time period away. What are you saying to us? What are you saying to me? What are you saying to our family? Retreats, breaks for ministry. This is one of the reasons why we ask everyone, when you're in a ministry 7 years or 6 years, take a year off. We say it to our elders. That's why we give our staff sabbaticals every 7 years. We need breaks. We need to hear from the Lord. We need fresh vision. And so not only just spontaneous times throughout the day, not only during the week, but we also need extended times away. A week and a half ago, Kathy and I and Paul and Eloise McConaughey led a marriage retreat for senior pastors and spouses. About, I don't know, 12 to 13, 14 couples. And the theme was on how you can partner together in ministry through your marriage. And so these couples took 48 hours out of their calendars and their busy schedules leading their churches to invest in their marriage. And I can guarantee you, because we heard all the testimonies, God spoke to them. When you create margin, God speaks, because from rest comes revelation. The four of us are going to do something very similar in November here at Grace. It's going to be open to many other churches, and many people will come from all over. And it's going to be open to any marriage at Grace for a 2-day, Friday and Saturday. And I guarantee, if you and your spouse come and you create that margin to hear from the Lord, you will receive revelation and an opportunity for your marriage to grow closer to God. We'll give dates that will be coming later in November. The monastery I attended, I mentioned earlier, anyone can attend. Anyone in this room, 18 and older, can attend. You can, maybe it's like 5 days, that's wait. I could never do silence and solitude 5 days. Could you do 48 hours? Maybe you need to put that in your calendar for next year. And so from rest comes revelation, and from a revelation comes response. And if you build a culture of rest to revelation to response in your life, in the life of your family, and if we build a culture in our church from rest to revelation to response, you know what comes? Revival. Revival comes. Revival comes to your heart. Revival comes to our lives. Revival comes to our communities. Where are you at in your own spiritual growth? Are you clearly hearing from the Lord on a regular basis? Are you responding? Do you have times of rest? Are you creating margin? Or are you burning the candle at both ends and you don't know which way is up, and you lay your head in the pillow and you think, I haven't even barely thought about God today? Revival is happening. I'm just going to tell you, because I see it in many of you. Because I see a greater increase of revelation and response, and it's happening. So I just want to encourage you to continue to create the opportunity to hear from God. Well, let's just pause and just pray as we just close our time. Just spend a few moments just in your own quietness of your heart. Just rest for a few moments. Take a deep breath. Maybe the morning's been so busy, you haven't even had an opportunity to say good morning to God. It's been so hectic already this morning. You haven't even had a chance to say, God, I love you. Thank you for this day. I just want to give you an opportunity now. There's margin right now. Let's just take the next 60 seconds. And it's not just communicating to him, it's also listening. What's the Spirit saying to you? Are you asking the right questions? God, what are you saying to me? What is the Spirit saying to you from this message? Let's just listen and respond.